I wanted to ask you if you had any comments about the changes you've seen over your career.
Well, I've seen a terrific development in the technology of how you do chemistry. It's gone from simple test tubes to very exotic things. It's really fantastic. One young man that we had working for us in Pittsburgh, the name of Paul Lauterbur, I don't know if you've heard about him, but he has Lauterbur. He's at the SUNY, State University of New York, and he was interested in nuclear magnetic resonance. He came back from the Army, having been at Fort Bragg, and had used a nuclear magnetic resonance tool there that they had never used, and he just got it out of mothballs and developed it and used it. So he came back to us and said he'd like to have a tool like that because he thought it could be useful to us. Well, we finally got permission to buy it. It was about $80,000 and a big magnet and a lot of electronic gear, and he got it to running. And he not only did carbon hydrogen, which was the going thing then, but he finally did silicon 29 and he did carbon 13. So he did a lot of innovative things. So he left us eventually to go back into academia. But he's done some fine work in the field, and the machine that you and I can go over to the hospital and get a nuclear magnetic resonance scan is his idea. And if it wasn't for him, that machine wouldn't be developed. And it is quite a machine because it doesn't subject you to very much radiation, and it also makes it possible to even make a little bit of an estimate of what chemistry is going on at a given site if you have some abnormality. So I've been real pleased that that kind of thing happened. I think did happen. I guess I'm a little sympathetic to John Speier when he says these fellows that work with 5cc really don't know how to do chemistry. In a sense, they don't, because they don't know how to make a pound or two of something. And a pound or two was just the beginning for us most of the time.
There's a new laboratory manual in organic chemistry that is at the micro level in order to cut down on waste.
Yes.
And vapors and protecting the environment. So they're now having students work at 1cc level.
Oh.
Very small unit.
Well, I can remember one of the projects that we had in organic was to prepare stearic acid. And we had to go out and buy suet. And we had to break up the ester and get stearic acid out of it. And then we had to recrystallize it from alcohol, and I was heating a great big dish about that big one day when the alcohol caught fire and burned the back of my hands. But, you know, making a few hundred grams of stearic acid was an assignment in those days. So you did it on a large scale.
I guess my last question then is what you might see in the future in terms of the industry and
I really think it's got unlimited possibilities. We just haven't scratched the surface of silicon chemistry, really. We've been dealing with polymers, and I would say, I'm not sure, 80% or more of Dow Corning's business is in the same few polymers that we started out with. Dimethyl, phenylmethyl, and that's it. But there are so many other possibilities. John Speier himself started some work with Eli Lilly when we were still at Mellon, and they had some very interesting possibilities. All sorts of drug-related possibilities. Now, Dow Corning did get into a drug-related field at one point, with a material that tended to atrophy the prostate gland. In other words, there was some possibility that it might be used in prostate cancer. And a Swedish firm, Kalby, worked on this for some time. Finally, I think we gave it up because it was going to be so hard for us to prepare the product. It was a product that had both levo and dextro rotary products, and only one of them was active. And separating the difference between those two was going to make a real problem. But it did do things. It did work, and it was no reason why it should do it. It was a saturated polymer, and just because of its size and shape, it had these effects. Now, John Spire has made many products that have reactive groups on them, and the question is, how would they behave biologically? Well, we haven't touched that field, really. We've been able to show, and this is one of the things that was some concern to us, because we've been making tons and tons and tons of dimethyl fluid over the years, and everybody said, where is that going? You know, what happens to it? Well, we finally were able to show that if you spilled 200 fluid on the ground, pretty soon there's nothing left but sand. Bacteria in the soil will destroy the methyl groups. And so it's not a contaminant, really, in the accepted sense of the word. But that doesn't mean there aren't things that can happen. And so, really, we have not explored the shady region between organic chemistry and organosilicon chemistry. That region is still unexplored very much. Lots of things can happen. Constantly new things are developing. A new product that Dow Corning came out with, well, we had a little bit of work during that period that we were studying radiation, whereby we were able to show that we could cure silicone rubber with ultraviolet light. And we made some printing plates that you could make, printing presses. But now they've got a product that they make the encapsulant for the glass fiber that makes this transmission of high-speed electronic cable.
Fiber optics.
The encapsulant for that is a silicone rubber that's cured with ultraviolet light. And it's brand new. And they're making miles and miles of it. So, you know, there are new things all the time, and I'm optimistic. I think Dow Corning and people in that field have a long way to go. Lots of things that can happen. At times, I think John Spire is discouraged in that he can't sell them on certain ideas, but he does sell them on some ideas, and they are put into practice, and one of his ideas is put into practice in the main plant down at Carrollton, which is the world's largest plant for the production of silicone materials, and it's producing better results because of his ideas. So I think that the technology is growing, no question of that, and who takes the role of putting some of this new technology to work in new fields, I think that's a challenge, but I think companies will do it.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much, Dr. Warwick, for a very fascinating account of your career and your ideas. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome indeed.